Good morning and welcome to Good Friday here at Stoke Green. I'm going to read now from John chapter 18 verse 28 and through into chapter 19. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning. And to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests have handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis of a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out to the Jews gathered there. "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis of a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation at the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Let's pray. Father, we're here on this most sacred of days in our calendar, Good Friday. A terrible day in many ways in the history of our world, where they took the greatest, the purest, most wonderful man that ever lived and nailed him to a cross. Men did their worst, but we know, Father, that ultimately this was your purpose, that Jesus should die, that he should bear on his precious body the sins of all who would come to believe in him. So while in one sense it's a terrible day, it's also in another sense a very precious day for those of us who believe in Jesus, because here at this cross our sins were dealt with. Help us this morning, Father, to just be able to grasp something of the wonder of this day, of the price that was paid for our freedom. Give us an understanding of this text. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we come to worship before we look into the text together. Thank you, Di and the team.
Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Jesus Christ, Son of God, crucified for each one of us, King over all.
Thank you.
Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And I simply want to ask this morning, is this Jesus your King? For the majority of the crowd that day, they didn't want to recognize Jesus as their King, despite so welcoming him on that donkey as he came into Jerusalem just days before. Now they had turned on him because he had not proved to be the deliverer from the Romans that they had hoped for. Why did Pilate have this notice put up? Maybe it was simply because he could. It was perhaps his way of demonstrating his authority over the Jews. As Roman governor responsible for public crucifixion, he could pretty much say and do what he liked. Perhaps it was a little bit of payback for the Jewish religious leaders who had put him in such an impossible situation when it came to issuing the death warrant. But I just wonder maybe there was a nagging doubt in Pilate's mind that he was doing the right thing in bowing to the crowd's demands. A number of times, many times, as we read in that passage, he tried to set Jesus free. And clearly Pilate has great concerns over condemning someone he believed to be an innocent man. And if we read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, from verse 19, there we read, "When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. 'Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I had suffered a great deal in a dream because of him.'" Don't do it. But in the end, Pilate had given in to the clamour of the crowd. Perhaps he feared he would have a riot on his hands if he didn't give in to their demands. I wonder if you ever found yourself in a position where your conscience tells you to act in one way, but because of the sheer pressure from people around you, you accede to their wishes rather than doing what you know to be right. That surely is what is happening with Pilate. Now, we saw last week on Palm Sunday that as governor, Pilate oversaw the Roman army occupying Judah. He was responsible for making sure that the people towed the line, paid their taxes to Rome. We know Pilate was a man of considerable military experience. And ultimately, it was his decision who died and who lived in criminal cases. If they'd been allowed to, the religious leaders in Israel would have had Jesus stoned to death in the time-honoured way amongst the Jewish people for such incidents. But under Roman rule, all capital offences had to be decided by the Romans, and therefore by Pilate himself. Now, I'm sure that Pilate would have heard reports from his men of how the crowds had welcomed this Jesus, the Nazarene, into the city just days before, riding on a donkey. The Romans were on red alert for trouble, but Jesus, in all honesty, didn't appear much of a threat. It wasn't like he was coming in riding on a war horse with an army of men behind him. This had been a peaceful entrance, and by now, several days further forward, any threat of a physical rebellion had dissipated. The Jews, as we know, had been left disappointed, as it became evident that Jesus had no intention of starting a fight against the Romans. In fact, the crowd has now turned, hasn't it, under the direction of their religious leaders. And an agreement was reached between all parties that Judas, one of his disciples, should betray Jesus in order to effect his arrest. Now he is brought to the gates of Pilate's residence to be handed over to the justice of the Roman Empire. The Jews didn't enter the palace, as they didn't want to make themselves ceremonially unclean for the Passover. Pharisees were very particular about such law. It's just a pity that they didn't have a conscience about the moral law in what they were doing, condemning an innocent man to death. Imagine the scene then. Pilate woken up in his palace early in the morning. Contemporary historians show us Pilate had no love of the Jews. So I can imagine him being very irritated by this intrusion so early in the day. What's all the noise? What's going on? You've got a prisoner for me. What's the charge? Murder? Treason? It was a reasonable question. Now, the answer the Jewish leaders give to this question was evasive and quite rude. If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. There was no real basis for a charge, and they knew it. So they tried to evade the question. What are you bothering me for? If he's done something wrong, punish him according to your own law, says Pilate. But we have no right to execute anyone, they objected. Pilate now understood just what kind of punishment they had in mind for Jesus. If Pilate agreed to their demands for crucifixion, little did they realise that actually this would be the fulfilment of Jesus' own words, John 12:32, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. So these Jewish leaders think that they're in control, but Jesus knows that actually this is his purpose in coming up to Jerusalem. This is his purpose all along, to die on the cross for the sins of all who would believe in him. Jesus has to be put to death by the Roman method of execution, crucifixion. Pilate takes Jesus in for questioning. He refuses to sentence to death a man without going through the proper legal process. I think probably Pilate knew that Jesus had been brought because the priests and the Pharisees envied the teaching, the power, the way that Jesus could draw a crowd. It's highly unlikely that Pilate wasn't aware of the stir that there had been amongst the people because of Jesus. And maybe he quite enjoyed the fact that the Pharisees had been upstaged. Unfortunately for him, it was his role and responsibility to decide the fate of Jesus. Now, I want to tell you today that you folks also have a decision to make for yourself. In your life, what are you going to do with Jesus? Is he your king? It's a decision that you can't ultimately evade. Is Jesus your Lord, your Saviour, your King? Or will you reject him from your life? Will you wash your hands of him as Pilate tried to wash his hands eventually of what he was doing with Jesus? Now, Pilate asked Jesus directly, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He must have been thinking, that's what some people are saying, you claim to be their king. You don't look much like a king to me. You don't look much of a threat. You're not really going to take over my role, my position of authority, or that of my colleague Herod. This is a difficult question to answer. If Pilate is asking Jesus, is he leading a rebellion against the Roman authorities and trying to establish a physical rule in Israel, then the answer for Jesus is no. But if Pilate is asking this question on a personal, spiritual level, then yes, Jesus is the promised king, the promised Messiah for Israel. In that sense, he very much is the fulfillment of being the king of the Jews. And Jesus carefully explains that the kingdom that he has come to establish is a spiritual kingdom. People join his kingdom through belief in him. Pilate asks, what is truth? Can it be defined? The governor certainly doesn't understand that Jesus is the embodiment of truth. In fact, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. However, Pilate is convinced of one thing, and that is that Jesus isn't guilty of anything that remotely deserves the death penalty that the Jews are demanding. In Pilate's eyes, yes, Jesus might have a few strange ideas, but there's no basis for a charge. He repeatedly says this. He returns outside to where the Jews are waiting in anticipation for a verdict, and he tells them as much. I find no basis for a charge against this man. What is Pilate to do? He's feeling the heat. He's feeling the pressure from the Jewish leaders. He doesn't want to provoke them. And yet all the time he believes Jesus to be innocent. Now, always wanted to try and wiggle out of a tight spot, Pilate spots a potential loophole to get him out of his dilemma. It was customary at the Passover feast to release a prisoner, usually a political prisoner. And this was probably designed to appease the Jews at the Feast of Passover, to keep them sweet, to keep them on board, to make them less antagonistic towards the Roman occupation. That because the Romans knew really that if the Jews rebelled en masse to a man, then they were going to be very difficult to hold, very difficult to control. If only he could persuade them to ask for the release of Jesus, that would end his moral dilemma. So he offered the crowd what seemed an obvious choice. Do you want me to release Jesus or Barabbas to you? Surely they would choose the quiet-mannered Nazarene over the notorious Barabbas, who the other Gospels tell us was known as a revolutionary and a murderer. But incredibly, incredible as it seems, the crowd asked for Barabbas to be released. Only a few days earlier, the majority of Jews had welcomed Jesus into the city, waving palm branches, declaring him their Messiah, shouting, Hosanna, he saves. But now, persuaded by the religious leaders, they declared Jesus a fraud and that he must die. Our time is nearly gone, but we know as the story unfolds, despite his misgivings, Pilate ultimately succumbs to the pressure of this mob and signs the death warrant for Jesus. He then tries to wash his hands, as we're told in the other Gospels, of this whole sorry affair. He then, as Jesus is led out to die and put on that cross, puts up this notice above the cross, Jesus, the King of the Jews. Well, I just want to close with a little application. I wonder this morning, are you scared by the prospect of going all out for Jesus as your King? What will people say amongst your family or your peer group? It's all too easy, isn't it, actually, to go along with the majority who still in our world today dismiss Jesus, who mock him, use his name as a swear word, or at best just see him as a good moral teacher. It's actually hard to identify yourself with a minority view. But I ask you this morning, isn't Jesus worthy to be your king? You need to weigh up what he was prepared to do for you, to deliberately offer himself up on that cross, to die in your place under the judgment of God. Pilate, in the end, takes the coward's way out. He acted, didn't he, very clearly against what his conscience was telling him. Maybe God has been speaking to you, and he wants you to make a stand for Jesus. Maybe that involves telling someone you know that actually you do believe that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. Maybe it means confessing your sin and your need of him to deal with that sin. And maybe it involves you being baptized, coming out publicly to declare Jesus as your Saviour, making that public confession of your faith, to pin your colours to the mast, as it were, to declare Jesus as your King. Jesus, the King of the Jews, is this your King this Good Friday morning? God bless you.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Once again.